When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What's up, everyone? Welcome to Binstown TV. My name is Jim, and I'm joined by my co-hosts Luke and Kyle. And today we begin our coverage of Apple TV Plus's newest TV show, Dark Matter. Today we are covering episode one, titled Are You Happy in Your Life? We want to give a huge shout out to Apple TV for sending us screeners for the show so we could cover episodes one and two separately and get them out to you guys as soon as possible. Also, some quick Binstown TV housekeeping. If you're new to our podcast and are listening from our Dark Matter feed and are not familiar with our other podcast coverage, then we just want to welcome you to our show and introduce ourselves. We are the Binstown TV podcast and we cover binge-worthy TV shows. We've been a podcast for over 4 years and have covered over 100 different TV shows. We recently covered Shogun, and we are going to be very busy coming up in June because we will be covering The Boys, House of the Dragon, and The Bear. So what I'm trying to say is that we cover a lot of TV, and we want you all to come for the ride. All you have to do is search Binstown TV on any of your favorite podcast apps or check us out at binstowntv.com. All right, guys. So we have episode one of Dark Matter titled Are You Happy in Your Life? I think the first thing we should just get out in the open is that all three of us, Luke, Kyle, Jim, we have not read the source material. We wanted to keep ourselves clean slate, just like we did for Silo, the other Apple TV Plus show we've covered. We want to be able to give you guys theories, instant reactions, all clean slate. So if you're a book reader, we're not going to have too much book talk for you guys, but it'll be fun for you to hear three guys who have no idea what we're talking about when it comes to the books just talk about this TV show. So I've already given my intro. I've already talked too much. Luke, Kyle, someone jump in. What do you guys think of this pilot?
Yeah, so I can start with my initial thoughts. I like that you pointed out we are not source material guys, because just like Apple TV does with all of his other shows, I feel like they're subpar marketing. So I didn't even know that this was coming out until Kyle put it on our radar. But this is like the definition of my type of show. I'm speaking for Kyle as well. Like, our favorite TV show of all time is Dark. This is right up that sci-fi mind-bending alley. Like, that's just perfect for me. Like, I will watch anything like this. I just watched Constellation, also on Apple TV, that came out this year. Very similar themes and very similar just genre in general. And these shows, like, I just can't get enough of them. So I was ready to jump into this. The issue I want to point out is we're living in an age where trailers are the worst. Like, they are just,
I agree,
they're just tailored to get the general public to know basically a summary of like everything we're about to see. Like, this whole episode, I almost felt like there were no surprises just because I knew what the show was about, which is unfortunate. It's going to make this conversation probably a little bit surface level because there's nothing to dissect yet, because everything that we saw in this episode with the two different realities and like him getting abducted, that's how the show was built just to the general public. So
yeah,
there's not a lot to really break down there, but like the concept again, like, it's incredibly interesting. I'm very ready to jump in. I love just listening to podcasts on like quantum physics. So when people just take Schrodinger's cat and like run with that concept and superposition, that's like a very common thing for sci-fi to latch onto. And this is just my type of show. So like, I'm ready to talk about it. Some all-star cast here. Like, I love Joel. He's great.
Yeah.
Our girl, God, I should have wrote her name down. She
Jennifer
was
Jennifer Connelly.
Well, yeah, I was going to say, bring her up as well, but the Murder at the End of the World, which we covered as well. Sean,
yeah, Amanda,
from that show. Yes. Who plays Amanda. She's from that. So she's also a recent Bingetown favorite. And then of course, Jimmy Simpson, Westworld, Always Sunny.
He just makes me freaking
smile when he's on the screen. Like, he might be my favorite TV non-A-lister, unless he's considered an A-lister because of Westworld. Like, he is one of my favorite people just to throw into a show and just let him go to work, because he's just so likable. And I can't wait to see more of him in the show. Maybe like there's going to be an evil side of him. That's going to be fun. This is just going to be really fun to talk about. So, but we're obviously going to get some of the science stuff wrong, and we have nothing to link this to for source materials, I keep saying. So give us a little bit of leeway here, but we'll get there. I think we're going to hopefully like this as much as those other type of shows like Dark and Constellation.
Jimmy Simpson's his name, right?
Yes.
There's like a tweet that floats around from time to time where it's like, name a guy where you see him on like a TV show or a movie you're watching. It's like, oh, it's that guy. Like, that's awesome. He is for sure on that list for me, where he popped up and I'm like, fuck yeah, it's Jimmy Simpson.
Him and Walter Goggins are that for me.
Yeah, they're good. They're good. And speaking of source material, I was very tempted to read just to have like that perspective on the podcast. But I also feel like that has kind of gotten me in the past of like being the person that knows. And then you're just too focused on the differences and similarities versus just enjoying the story itself. So I was like, okay, I won't read. So then I started reading this book called Neuromancer by, I believe, William Gibson. Not even 2 days after I started it, Apple TV announced they have the rights to it and they're making a TV show on it. So I was like, nice. Okay, I mean, when you try to not win, you still win.
We're covering that, yeah. So,
we'll do Callum Turner. I don't know if you guys know who that is, but he played one of the main characters in, oh my Lord, the World War II show about the airline. Nice. Pilot. Masters of the Air, yes.
Oh my God.
We covered on
the one you just covered?
I covered it on Binge Town. He is going to play the main character, which is cool.
Oh, nice.
And yeah, just overall thoughts of the episode. Look, could not agree more about the trailer thing. Feels like we had to watch the trailer because, like, should we podcast on this show? Or
yeah, not? Right.
But yeah, there was no like insane twist. It still was very good. I was engaged the whole time, but excited to talk through everything.
And Agreed. Let's just mention it now about Blake Crouch, who wrote the original book, is also a showrunner. Is he the showrunner? I know he's an executive producer. Is he like the head showrunner?
I don't know about head showrunner, but I know that he wrote like almost all the episodes.
It says here, upcoming American science fiction television series created by Blake Crouch. So
yeah, okay,
he created it, I guess.
I don't know. Have we ever had an example where that's been the case where the writer of the book is the lead showrunner? I know George R. R. Martin was involved with Thrones, but that wasn't the same level.
This is
amazing.
Yeah, Hugh Halley was just somebody that they used as, hey, what do you think, kind of deal. Consultant on there, and which is also A+ to be able to do that. I mean, if you're going to completely leave out the person who created the book and the material, that's a rough one.
In a similar vein to the guy Jacob Verbruggen, I believe, he's the director of the first few episodes. I only mention this because he directed a Black Mirror episode. If you remember the Men Against Fire, with like the military and they have the neural implants. Yeah. And I mentioned that to also mention when I looked that up, I didn't realize that Sarah Snook, Shiv Roy, is in that episode. It's like one of the
characters.
Oh, I watched it before Succession. Yeah, so I
didn't
realize
that.
That's
at the time,
how that works.
I was scrolling through looking and I was like, Sarah Snook's in this Black Mirror episode?
It's crazy how certain characters can become some of your favorites ever, don't ever think to recognize them in old stuff they've been in because it hasn't been the show you've watched that you love them in yet. That's crazy. I agree with you guys. It was a little rough to know the trailer, to know the specific synopsis of the show, and you see the masked man and you're like, oh, that would have been a cool reveal. I mean,
right.
I don't know that it necessarily would have been like, oh, that's cliche if it's like not going to tell you and then that's a reveal for episode one, because obviously, you know, they've done things like that before, but I thought the masked man was badass. We'll get into that. I was getting some Walter White vibes from our boy, Joel Edgerton.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
And then I was getting, I don't know if you guys watched this or not, and I don't know if I'm allowed to give spoilers because I can't remember if this is another one that's it's in the trailer or in the synopsis, but The Outsider from HBO. Did either of you watch that?
No.
Sounds familiar,
okay.
But
so that one came out maybe like, I might have been pre-COVID, and it was Jason Bateman starred in it, and I think it was a one-off, and yes, it gave me vibes on that, but I don't want to get into it just in case I'm giving some spoilers. Yeah, let's just get into it.
It's probably obvious that you're 5-10 minutes into this podcast already, and the title of the episode is only about episode one. So Apple dropped episode one and two on the first initial drop, which is the 8th. So we're doing this obviously before. And so because we were lucky enough to get screeners, we're doing this in two pieces. So we don't have any knowledge of the second. If you've already watched both, sorry if we're going to sound repetitive because we haven't yet watched the second episode. We're only going to be talking about everything held within the first pilot.
Yeah, good call. And then another just quick note about our coverage as well. We'll take scenes kind of in buckets, especially with this episode, because like we're saying, it might be a little more high level. When we want to break things down, we'll get into the details of things, but we're not going to talk about every single thing that happens in the episode. Maybe that will cause us to miss some things, but honestly, that's more opportunity for you to interact with us. You can hit us in the YouTube comments. You can join our Discord and chat there. I'm sure this feels like a show that we can talk a lot about in the Discord.
Yes.
So hopefully that becomes a thing as well. So that being said, let's start off with doing that. I think our first group of scenes we can talk about is basically everything that happens in, quote unquote, this first morning. So we're kind of getting introduced to Jason and his family. Jason and his son are driving to school. Jason has his lecture at Lakemont College. And then we learn a little bit about the mom. What's her name again? It begins with a D.
Daniela.
Danielle, mm-hmm. that's what I have it as. I mean, I have it as mom throughout, just because you get in that. You just get in that role when you first do it. And yeah. we learn a little bit about her as well. So there's kind of a group of scenes here, but just kind of like an introduction to all of our characters.
I don't think I've seen too many things with Jennifer Connelly, but you can just tell how she acts that she is just upper tier. Like, you can just get that vibe from her. And she's like a scene stealer. She's just good at her line delivery. She's a really good parallel for Jason. Jason's our main character, right? We're going to get the names down. Trust me. We might sound like idiots right now, but we'll get there. we're going to have to work on, as we were talking about this pre-podcast, we're going to have to work on how we're going to talk about Jason. And then I was writing Evil Jay as the parallel.
I like Evil Jay.
Because then we avoid Jason, right? The name. So yeah. I feel like that could work. We might go with Evil Jay, whatever. We're nickname guys. We like to, you know, shorten things, make it easier Evil for note-taking purposes. But I definitely like the family. And Jimmy, it's funny that you wrote the Breaking Bad, Walter White comparison. You already brought that up because this is just straight out of that. And Breaking Bad was the years that it came out. It was like when did that initially start? It was like 2000, late. Like 2008-ish?
Oh, 6, 7, 8-ish, yeah.
Okay, because this book was written in 2016, I think. I just looked it up. So this is definitely probably has some roots in that like genius physicist that didn't quite make it and decided to go the family route. Like, that's like the parallel that we're drawing here, and that's what he gives here, Jason. And it seems to me, and I am jumping ahead a little bit, that Evil Jay just went the complete opposite way, where he just leaned all the way into the work, never met Daniela, never started a family, and leaned into the idea of, I guess, studying dark matter, if that's what they're doing over there in the other universe. But this was a good intro. It didn't need to be complicated. You can be a little tropey with the family members, and it's a good setup.
It explained a lot, too, by showing us rather than telling us, kind of even the family dynamic. He seems like he's like a very like forgiving part of it. She almost seems like the bad cop in their relationship, and especially with the son. I mean, she's like making fun of him because he isn't a good driver, which I just thought was like, it made me laugh that she like was laughing when he's like, I'm a good driver, and she like just laughs in his face and then leaves basically for work. And then he is very like, he's more of like a gentle parent to him. I just thought that was interesting as well. And maybe that's part of his kind of personality, and that he like accepted this life for himself instead of striving for more. So he's very like complacent and content, while her, we learn in that like one individual scene that she has with her friend, that she's training for the Ironman, which is, you can call that very ambitious. And I would agree that that's very ambitious. The interesting part was her friend makes that comment about how maybe she's avoiding her family. Like, I'm taking that note for sure.
Yeah.
I'm interested. It's hard to tell now because OG Jason is now in a different world, but like how their relationship actually is versus how it was shown to us.
Yeah, it's definitely off when you have the friend say, are you trying to hide from your family? Yeah. And then you see what she's been doing on screen with the family. Like, the jokingness with her son seems like she's obviously very involved, even though she's saying, I'm not freaking driving with you, man. This is the dad, of course, OG Jason. He's the one who's going to take his son. But I mean, their relationship seems very loving. They still very attracted to each other, obviously, like that kind of stuff. So that's definitely a weird comment. So it'll be interesting to see throughout the rest of the season. And I don't know how many seasons Apple TV has planned for Dark Matter. And maybe our listeners can like let me know if I'm diving in the wrong way and it's going to waste our time. But yeah, so what I'm basically trying to say is that with Jason, I would be very interested to see if he has that Walter White tendency. Like, if the Jason that we know from our original timeline, when he goes to the other timeline, is it going to be an entire show like we saw in the trailer where he really does just want to get home? Mm-hmm. Or is it going to be like a character piece where while he's on that other side, when Evil Jay tells him like, hey, man, I'm changing your life. Is it actually going to be like, like I'm actually getting what I want here. I am the CEO. I am the big dog. And is that going to change his character at all? You know, again, it could be something where the people who read the book are like, hey, man, it's nothing. It's about him trying to get home. So stop talking about it. But it's interesting. It's definitely interesting to think about.
Yeah, I can see it for sure. Another interesting thing to think about, Schrodinger's cat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mentioned. When we get the scene of him teaching, that's just, for me, I just think of Dark.
Yes.
Of course. How could you not? And like, I said it earlier, it's kind of like the quintessential like summary of what a quantum mechanic concept that is sold in almost every sci-fi show. It's like this idea where until you measure something, it's in both states of matter. But like, so that's the whole idea of the show. There's going to be the two universes. Like, until you look into one of them, one way, the other one, the other way, you know, and then it kind of resulted in this cause and effect thing. And it's cool to see. And there's so much symbolism all around, both in like just how the show's set up. And like I'm seeing pictures in the background that is supposed to be, it's supposed to be this whole superposition idea, right? So they're going to lean so into this. And you're right, Jimmy. Like, I don't know, it's going to be a very simple concept where we're trying to get home and it's just like the Schrodinger cat explains the two different universes, or is it going to get way more complicated and there's going to be like five seasons? Like, who knows? I'm leaning towards, I'm getting the vibe that it's probably like two to three seasons.
I don't think the book's that long. I feel like it could only, maybe it's only going to be one season.
That's what I was saying. And the thing about it, though, the crazy thing is that if the creator, writer of the book is the showrunner, he could expand on his own material if it needs to go longer. But say, you know, the book is, like you said, an point A to point B. I'm trying to get home and I'm, you know, Evil Jay is actually just Evil Jay. He's the antagonist. We could totally get into the whole, like, is Evil Jay even evil? I mean, they're showing him kind of to us in this pilot is like, hey man, he like took over and he's banging your wife. Like, he doesn't seem very nice, you know, like he's not, but yeah. I mean, you don't know. Yeah. You don't know. You have no idea. Like, how much are we going to get into these two characters? Are we going to get one Jason that we think is the protagonist and he's Walter White and the other Jason? It could just be gray. And if we're talking about Breaking Bad, it could be gray matter, dude. Yeah. A little gray matter action.
Okay. So, only other thing I think to mention in these scenes, at least for me, is that his friend Ryan, aka Jimmy Simpson, calls him, says he won the Pavia. At this point, we don't know what that is, but we learn later it's just a very prestigious award
right.
in science. I looked this up online. This seems to be a made up thing.
Okay.
For the book. Pavia as a place is both a province and a city in Italy. It's where Albert Einstein's dad settled down to have like an electrical like magnetism business that failed spectacularly. That's like the only thing I could think of. He wrote like one letter and like somewhat scientific thing while he was there. The Einstein connection is the only thing I could uncover.
That's probably what it is.
Okay.
So that's just a thing. It's just a fake award for this thing. Obviously, it's a very real award in this universe.
Yeah. And we can talk more about Ryan, I guess, when we see him in person in the bar scene.
Yeah.
I think, I mean, we can get there. I just think we should call out specifically the storage container.
Mm-hmm.
This was like one of the only scenes that was shot this way too, like super focused, not giving us like the full room at any time. Like, we're getting batteries. We have purple goo in this little vial that's put into a canister. And then he's keeping his journal. And I was like, literally just like, okay, what does this mean? Journal, family night, ? Like, I was pausing and like zooming in and like
me
all
too.
This stuff. So
me too.
Yeah. Cause I was thinking at this point, cause I'm spoiled, I guess you could say, by the trailer, of thinking like, okay, he knows, so he's like trying to keep track of all of his days, so if he gets sent to like a different place, then like the other version of him is keeping his own journal and it's different than his type of deal. But obviously that's not what came
and
to fruition. But
yeah, I thought he did a good job, Evil Jay, that is, like asking the right questions, unlocking his phone, reading the text so he was prepared with the ice cream. Like, all of that stuff was like good and obviously thought out. The question is time one-to-one between universes? Like, that's a thing, because we find out later from Amanda that he was gone for over a year, right? 14 months, I think, is what she ends up saying. So has he been in this world tracking him for 14 months, or is there that time dilation issue?
Yeah.
That's going to be a question we need to have. And then I'm throwing this out there now just because we're freeballing it and I do what I want, is they mentioned that there was a lot of people that actually traveled across and he was the only one that came back. So now that's going to be fun for podcasting reasons, because is Ryan the other Ryan? Or like, you know, like we always have the questions about, is this a person from the evil universe? And we're going to, it's probably going to bother our listeners that we're going to keep saying evil, but
well,
that's
now.
Just how we're going to do it until we get more information. Yeah. It could be like you're saying, like we could be looking at our main character, Jason, and he is the evil one in the end. Who knows?
Yeah. But you have no idea. Yeah.
It's just fun for podcasting. Those type of things where there is that added level of mystery constantly going on. Is this person, because our Jason might even meet somebody from the other universe at any point, you know? So there's just a lot going on. So it's cool that we got this scene, and hopefully I like the idea of time being one-to-one. We don't need to worry about time. I'd rather just worry about the dimensions and
right
the idea that he's been there for 14 months tracking him, keeping his schedule, is a really cool idea. So
that's so funny, because I literally read this scene the exact wrong way, where I read this as this was Jason splitting off his time to like try to create this discovery to like use his life in a positive way because he was like fed up with himself.
That's so funny. Hilarious.
I didn't realize that that was evil, Jay.
Wait, did I read it wrong?
No. So, okay, let's talk about this because I was literally going to bring this up right before Kyle said that. So my original take was that I was fully on Kyle's side, that I thought this was Jason trying to, on the side, make something of his life because he feels like Walter White-ish. I thought he has this crazy creation that he was developing, experimenting, etc., and he was keeping it a total secret. He was keeping track of calendars just to make sure he wasn't like screwing anything up with his family side of things. Because again, this is important to him. Evil Jay later in the season in the episode says we have the motivation for why he stayed and didn't become, I guess, Evil Jay. Like why Jason stayed with the family. He told his wife that he would rather make memories with her than be stuck in a sterile lab his entire life. So, because we get that answer, Jason gives the answer to Evil Jay when he's down and he's beat up. He says, tell me, what do you think? What are your thoughts? And latch on to that when shit gets tough. And he says, I wish I made more of my life. So I thought he was doing that on the side. That's crazy. And then when I was like thinking about it, I was like, is this one of those things where, again, they're showing us that the clone slash alternate version, not clone, alternate version before the reveal happens. And it's that's the one quote unquote reveal or whatever, like, you know, of the episode. And I think now that we're like talking it out loud, it's Evil Jay.
I
think that's what it is, because it just seems like that's, you know, he opens the box later in the episode and it's shining and glowing. And it just seems like that this purple stuff that he has is the dark matter, whatever you want to call it, that drives his ability to go between these universes or dimensions, however you want to say it.
Yeah, that just makes sense. And I think the money too, like the way it was set up feels very like guy hiding from things and like keeping himself afloat type of deal.
I don't want to do this anymore, I guess, but with the trailers, I wanted to rewatch the trailer after I watched episode one, because I wanted to be like, what are they actually giving us? Because I only watched the trailer once, and I fully agree with you guys. I don't want to know anything. So I watched the trailer so like surface level just to be like, all right, this looks good. We're in, we're going to pot on it. And let me just forget everything else. So I wanted to see after I watched episode one, like what kind of information they were giving us. And obviously there's a scene in the trailer where Jennifer Connelly's Daniela follows Evil Jay to the storage unit and things like that. So it just seems like, yes, it is Evil Jay's storage unit. And it's something that you don't realize at the time because you don't have the reveal yet that there's two Jays. Jason.
Oh, look at us. We were like, we saw the trailer. It's like, we know everything that happens in this episode.
And
like,
they got us.
Hey, man, I read it, right?
That's true.
But Luke's honestly got his dark goggles on.
Dude, this is going to be so fun to talk about. You're just like minute talk right there, and you brought up all the concepts. Like, this is just, when a show is like this, I just feel like these types of shows have the highest ceilings of anything besides epic fantasy for me. Like, that's it. Like, it's either epic fantasy or crazy mind-bending sci-fi, and just everything you went through. Within our last 5 minutes, we just talked through like 20 different concepts, and all of them seem realistic to me, like after this conversation already. Like, damn, dude.
It's also I think my expectations, it totally impacted my note taking. Like, moving into just like them having their family night dinner and then him going to the bar before he gets abducted, I wrote down so many things. Like, she convinced him to go, a very intimate hug. But yet, like they seem to have good chemistry, but she wants to avoid her family, question mark. And then there's a car following him, question mark. And then this zoom in on the sign, like the tavern tap, like this seems ominous. Like, they obviously want us to know that and things like that. And then I'm like, oh, full bottle of McKellen full cast, 1824. Look up the price. I'm like, oh, that's kind of expensive. Yeah. And then the bartender reaches over. They kind of zoom in on his like Illuminati tattoo. And I'm like, okay, noted. That's interesting.
I noticed the sign. I noticed the tattoo. So a lot of things that you're pointing out, they definitely use the cinematography to highlight. So that's by design. And I thought the music score was pretty good too, especially the end when it starts going all rap. Like, that was awesome.
Pure speculation that feels like I'm walking away from this scene with are this Claire, Edward, and Ivan character. They just were so weird to me. They stuck out, and especially again the way it was shot, like that it was their full face on the screen.
Right up.
And then like just kind of like blowing Ryan. And then being like very unimpressed by Jason's
Lakeview
College. Yeah, type
college
of
guy.
And then Ryan brings up this Andrew Darab character, and Luke kind of finished this gear turning when he mentioned the line where like multiple people went in with Evil Jay and haven't returned. Like, I'm thinking maybe those are like these characters, not that for these sure. are the people that went in and are inhabiting the universe, but like their counter,
the other version. Right.
Yeah,
that's cool. But I like that.
Maybe I have it written down somewhere, but did they not say that in the other universe, like towards the end, that he, like Ryan's not in the picture at all, right?
That's fair.
Well,
that's fair. But maybe they're just impressed with that version. They then gravitated to Evil Jay.
So definitely possible. Yeah.
Yes. And I don't know if we want to jump there yet, but the only thing I did notice is that when he says Ryan, because they say, who were you with? Like, who was the last person you were with at the bar? And he says Ryan, and he says the whole name. Mm-hmm. It looks like the guy in the background kind of like his hands are up, and then he like puts it down, and it looks like, and then the two, Amanda and Leighton, look at each other, and it almost looks like they're like, oh shit. They're like either not happy about it or like a sadly dissurprised kind of thing, where maybe he is something in that other world, other dimension, that I don't know if it's necessarily going to be like he's a bad guy, but something about him in that other dimension seems like it disappointed or surprised people when he said the name.
I could see it being that they were friends also in that world, in Evil Jay's world, and they had some type of dust up, whatever. Because, I mean, they almost kind of did in this world and in Jason's world with the Pavia War, because he was like, ah, fuck it. Like, he wanted to win it. Type of deal. He wasn't even going to go to the celebration unless his wife made it to. So it seems like their relationship is, Ryan is very invested in their relationship and how, what it means to him, and Jason is not at all. So if you take Jason and make him the Evil Jay version where he's so career driven, I could easily see those two characters having like a very emotional split in their relationship.
Jesus, man. Theory Town is just going crazy right now. And we, like you're saying, Jimmy, we could be reading into this and this could not be that type of show. But now I'm thinking, what if that look that they had, that Leighton and Amanda have, is because, oh shit, Ryan was one of the volunteers that went in first and he saw him over there. So maybe there's a world where the Ryan that we see at the bar is from the evil universe and he wants to work with this Jason so badly so he can come together and make the dark matter to send him back, possibly. Like, that could be something.
I want to shut some things down just because of the stupid trailer. Yeah, I know it sucks, but I don't want people to be like, guys, you just said you watched the trailer and then you're not. So in the trailer, it's...
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Jason, that's narrating the premise of the show, pretty much. He's basically reading the synopsis, and it's because you find out that he is telling this synopsis to Ryan, and I believe this would be in that other dimension. So say we're in episode one, and Jason goes to the other dimension. He thinks he has a wife, a son. He's saying, what the hell's going on? You guys are screwing with me, blah, blah, blah. He is telling that to Ryan, like in a apartment house setting, and then Jason says, like, what would you do if you heard that? And then Ryan would say, like, I think you're crazy or something, right? So
okay,
I think Ryan exists in that dimension, and he's not flipped, unless, like, again, you can literally steal that Ryan and flip him again. You can do whatever the hell you want, you know?
Yeah.
So I just want to make sure I say that, because again, a lot of people are huge into trailers and dissect them. There's like YouTube channels just for that. So I don't want to be like acting like I didn't watch it. So
me and Luke said we did, and we clearly didn't really. So
yeah, well,
I might have watched it for a second, like when you originally mentioned the show, and then that was it.
Exactly. Like, if you watch it the way I watched it and you guys watch it surface level to say, hey, are you going to cover this? You don't know what you're watching when it comes to that point, because you have to watch episode one and then rewatch the trailer to realize that it's Jason who's beat up telling Ryan, hey, man, something crazy happened. What do you think about it? You could just assume that's part later in the season and it's normal dimension. It's the regular OG dimension. You have no idea unless you're going back. And I only went back because I just wanted to see what was actually revealed to everybody.
Well, I could see like Evil World Ryan believing Jason because Evil Jay and Evil World Ryan had this big split up, and he's like, why is he coming to talk to me? Like, this is not like him. Like, clearly,
yeah,
there's
yeah, that,
shit.
That,
and then that is kind of the catalyst for him believing. I could see that. And, but one last point I want to make on Ryan is that I thought it was, and again, maybe I'm looking too much into it, it feels very obvious that Ryan is a neuroscientist. Mm-hmm. His work was identifying the prefrontal cortex as the conscious generator. He wants to create a neurotech company. Jason works in physics, and the company that he creates in the evil world, Evil Jay's company, is like a propulsion, like rocket fuel type of company. Like, it doesn't really seem like there's any level of overlap with neurotechnology and neuroscience. So that was just something.
And also, just to add, we know for a fact it's not going to be something to do with consciousness, like sending your consciousness to the other body, because we have the case of two bodies physically there. So you're actually being transported. So that's going to be interesting when we see how that actually happens.
Right. And you see the injuries on both bodies have flipped.
Yeah. So you're
so
physically
we know
crossing
it's your physical
over.
Body. Yes.
Yes. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And
good point.
It's like eerily similar to gray matter, where you have Walter White and you have Elliot and you have Jason and you have Ryan, because Ryan specifically says, hey, man, without your notes, this would have never happened. And he also says, this should have been you. Mm-hmm. Now, the original phone call, props to Jason if he was faking, because he did seem genuinely like, oh, dude, that's freaking awesome. Maybe after he hung up the phone, he was like, you know, one of those kind of things where he was a little disappointed. And you could see he's a little off after, but he seemed genuinely happy for his buddy. And then, you know, it didn't seem on character 100% to me that he didn't want to go to the celebration because he seemed so excited for him in the first phone call. But maybe, like, I am just barking down the wrong tree just because. Is it barking up or barking down?
I think you bark up. I think you
I'm barking up. Up.
You're barking up the wrong tree, bro.
I'm barking. Yeah. I was up top on the tree, and now I'm down.
Well, everything's flipped. Everything's
I'm
flipped.
Barking places, okay? So wherever I'm barking, maybe it is like too close to the gray matter scenario where maybe they aren't really going to get into that. It does seem very, very like copied where, you know, Jason could straight up at some point be like, bro, you literally used my notes to get your award. You're nothing without me. I should be you. I mean, it's fully Walter White and Elliot.
Two things I want to point out off of what you just said there. The first thing, which is just funny to me, is like, this is like 10 minutes into the episode and you're saying like, it's not on character. Like you have the understanding
totally,
of his
character. My boy Jason, my freaking boy Jason would not act that way. Maybe exactly. Evil Jay would, but my boy Jason would not do that.
And then if second thing, this is just for you, Jimmy, is if we have any listeners out there that are coming over from the Shogun podcast. Yeah, we did a lot of Game of Thrones parallels there. This is going to be the Breaking Bad parallel show. So just be ready for all those references. Granted, you did cover most of them already. So like, there
I think we're good. I don't think there should be too much more.
We're good.
I barked all over that tree and I think we're good now. So
All right. So I think we could move on from the kind of bar scene. We can get into this abduction again. I don't want to like keep reiterating it, but we know at this point when we're watching it that this is another version of him.
Yes.
I think they did a good job of, if you didn't know, it's somewhat, I don't want to say easy to find out, but the way he's saying like, what's your passcode? Oh, father's birthday reversed, right? And he knows about Ryan, like, and then with the like, you wouldn't believe you if you told me type of stuff. So I feel like they gave enough of good hints if you were paying attention. But it was difficult, I think, to like feel all of the tension in this scene.
And this is something I wrote down, which I know was a dumb note as I was like watching this. But if you blindly give this show to somebody, don't let them know the premise and just say, trust me, watch it. Like, there's a world where you think that could be Ryan until you see Ryan at the bar flirting with that girl that he was talking to. I like wrote it down. I'm like, well, obviously it's got to be Evil Jay. Like, there's no other there's no other person it could be. But it would be, you know, it would have been an interesting take if they did make it somehow even Evil Ryan or that Ryan who was pissed because he's kind of didn't say yes to the San Francisco job offer in the bar. But either way, it's not even worth talking about because it's Evil Jay. But we can take this to directly to the warehouse that he ends up bringing him to, and they get in that fight. Evil Jay gets injured on his arm that Daniela sees in the end. So like that's like yellow flag number one because he didn't mention that. So then he gets drugged up. My question is, do you think the drugging of him, like, do you think that was just like knock him out and then we're going to send him to the other universe? Or do you think that's part of the process of
like
being
he was
able
injecting
to,
part of the purple shit into him? Maybe because we saw that it was being put into like a, like you said, Kyle, like some kind of canister capsule thing where you put it in, lock it down, and yeah, he said it's going to just put you to sleep. So I don't know.
I don't
true.
Know.
That could be a side effect, though, like getting dark matter into you and knocks you out and you wake up in the other universe. I don't know. Maybe I'm just reading into it and it was literally just like chloroform or whatever. It just knocks him out or something.
I feel like I'm more inclined to believe it was just to knock him out to like ensure that he can get him into, because we see technically the first scene is Evil Jay walking out of that box in the warehouse. I think maybe he was trying to get him not to see the box, but he gets combative. I don't really know. I think, though, it was just he just needled him to knock him out.
Be able to control
him. So he's pliable. I'm sure he could just drag him into the box and put the purple goo into
the box.
That's fine.
That's all it has to be.
And then kind of send him there. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think, again, though, just funny looking at my notes of like everything. I was like, Jalisco Electronics Store. Like, okay, noted. You're not getting that one past me. Like, Jalisco. Okay. And then the same thing, like he has that little pad, Evil Jay, this is, and it has the company symbol on it. And in one of the first scenes when Jason and the son leave the house, they have this like little wooden box outside of their house, like storage box that has these like hand hearts. Two hands,
a
heart, and then the little feet prints in the middle. I'm like, oh, that kind of looks similar. Like, let me write that down. And then I zoomed in later. It's just a V in like a globe. I'm like, okay, you got me there.
Hey, man. That's how we catch shit. Sometimes we're not going to get anything, but one time you're going to get something and you're going to blow everybody's mind.
That's true. You mentioned it earlier, but I just really like the way he has the conversation with them when he's like, you can have everything you missed out on. Like, I'm doing this for the both of us. That concept gets me going. I like that concept where like they've had the two different almost opposite versions of their lives and then halfway through their lives they're going to switch and see how it goes. That's just very cool.
Now, when we're watching this and we know it's Evil Jay just because of the trailer, the synopsis, et cetera, are you guys assuming that what he's taking him to is some way to flip? Like, did you think that was the end game? To flip their lives?
Drag him to the cube that we saw in the first scene.
Cool.
But it has nothing to do with science. Like, he's not trying to send him back so that his company can learn more things about this. It's all about just
pure
keeping
self-care.
His life. Yeah, exactly. That's where the evil's coming from, is because he's taking over his life. Because he could have tried to sell this in a way that I'm helping both of us out. Like, you're going to go there. You're going to see what it's like. You can always come back. Clearly, I'm a case study of it working. So he could have sold it in like that type of way. But instead, he just goes pure, this is my life now. Like, get the hell out of here. Right. Like that. Yeah. That's where the evil's rooted in. Also, and I think that's a thing. So
now my he's been gone for so long. I'm of a mind where I'm just going to put this on the board. The things are happening kind of at the same time. And he's been gone for so long because he's been looking for the right level of apathy and general contentedness version of himself.
Okay. So he's studying himself just to be himself. And like that goes with the whole setting the notes on the calendar. Like, what's today? What's tomorrow? What does he do on Wednesday? What does his wife do on Friday with her training, et cetera? Yeah.
Like, I don't think he just like hit the jackpot on the first one and was like, I'm just going to take up whoever's life this is. Cause I think there's obviously aspects of Jason's life that he likes and wants.
And I don't know again if this is trailer talk or whatever, but it seems to me that he's literally choosing Jason's life because he ended up having this family life with Daniela.
Yeah.
He's focusing on Daniela. He goes after like he knows her.
What the like quote unquote nexus point is. Yeah. Where like, I don't know if I'm using that right now that I say it out loud, but like, did Evil Jay date Daniela in the past and then their life split because he chose work?
Yeah. That's
where my belief.
Like that.
Yeah, like, where are their branches happening?
That conversation that R. Jason has, where he says, I'd choose you, could have literally been where Evil Jay says, I have ambition, sorry.
I think that's it.
And
full
boom.
Stop. Yeah. I think that's completely
maybe
the moment.
Other people didn't come back because they were like, fuck, I like
this sweet
version of my life. Yeah.
Yeah. This
ill
this
the
house.
Other version of me.
This
like
life
Rick
is
Morty,
sweet.
Basically.
Yeah.
I'll just assume their role essentially. Okay. So now we've kind of completely shifted to Evil World. Jason kind of wakes up. He's in what we find out is Velocity Labs, this company that he co-founded and co-created. He's in this quarantine room. I mean, geez, we meet Amanda, she comes in, he gets this little video interview, he begins to freak out, and he kind of runs away. I think we talk about everything up until maybe he has, like, he's in the house with Amanda. We just learned some things. I know we've covered most of this, but just if there's anything kind of, any meat left on the bone of these scenes that we want to talk about.
Yeah, I mean, right away with Amanda, as soon as she sees him, she hugs him, you know, that's his counterpart in this world, and she's very disappointed that he doesn't know who the heck she is, but she says, like, oh, that's okay, we'll figure this out. The thing that I wanted to bring up earlier that I didn't get to is when it comes to this evil world, if that's how we're still going to call it until we have a better name for it. So I'm trying to speak this out with you guys. Let's talk it out. Do they know where he's going? Like, do they know that he's going to an alternate universe where there's other versions of him? Like, if he comes back not himself, why can't they just be like, oh, maybe it's the wrong Jason? Because it should be so obvious to her. I mean, when he says, I have a wife, I have a son, if they know that there's another dimension, another world that he is visiting, she should be like, oh, shit, this might not be you. Or maybe something, you know, again, flipped in the process. I mean, as far as they know, it could have killed everybody else. It could have done something, anything bad to anybody else. And the only person who made it back is Jason. And they're testing him for all this stuff, assuming that there could be problems. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah,
you know, I'm just wondering
how is it not on the protocol sheet of, like, or even in like the travel briefing where it's like, this could happen.
Right.
For sure.
The signs.
The thing I want to just bring up, I guess, at least, like you mentioned, like, he was checked for radiation, diseases, just all these things, they were testing his vitals, like, everything. I think memory loss is a very valid concern where...
Oh, yeah, I mean, she says
enough,
it.
Yeah, and not enough happens in the lab scene for sure. They maybe should have thought that it was a possibility, but after he goes home and has the freak out, like, and to Amanda and like, oh, I have a kids, did her next scene better be, yo, this is the wrong one? Because I completely agree. Now it's just, to me, it should be obvious to the scientist because he's looking at his picture of getting the award on the wall. Like, he's saying, this is my kid's room. Like, where's my wife? That's way too much past the line of memory. So I'm not trying to like raise the stakes of Amanda's next scene, but to me, like, the next science scene that we get from Leighton and maybe like whenever they're talking, like, it better be good writing and be like, yo, like, this is not our Jason.
Yeah, I mean, the only thing I could think of is that he is the mastermind, like we know, and he has ulterior sorry, I'm messing my words up here today. He has literally other motives when it comes to...
Gave up on it.
I'm just avoiding the word completely.
I was going to tongue-tie it, so I said, screw it. I will literally make YouTube videos where I have a script for Binge Town, and I'll like be trying to say the word, and I'm just like... And eventually, I'm just like, I messed this up so many times, I'm just going to switch the word. So I'm learning. But anyway, he could have another motive where specifically only he knows what could be on the other side. Maybe he tells them that... It's trans. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. It just seems like they probably should know what the deal is, because if they're testing him for all this stuff, it's some kind of transportation, something other dimensions. They should know. So, yeah, I agree, Luke. I think that it's going to be a very important next scene with Amanda. Mm-hmm. And we'll see. I mean, she could become a helper, like a protagonist helper, and realize, like, OK, this is the wrong Jason. Let me help you get back. But we'll see.
Yeah. And speaking of like different motives for, like, Jason having the evil Jay having the knowledge of what's on the other side, to me, I don't necessarily buy it. I think it's more a victim of, or like a result of him being there for 14 months, learning about his life and then trying to take over, because they say that Leighton is the CEO. So like anything that evil Jay knew, because he's the chief science officer. So maybe not, but like you would think that anything he knew also Leighton would know about. So like, if it was like this whole plan, I'm going to make this whole company to jump dimensions and steal this life, I don't think it went that deep until he got over there, is my guess.
That would be like super villain.
Yes.
Jay.
Yeah. I mean, he is Evil Jay. So I want to say that if I had to put it on the board, I feel like he went into this with the plan to get rid of his current life. Like, I don't think he like went like was like, okay, I'm traveling and I'm just going to see what happens and come back and then move on. Like, and then while he was there, he was like, fuck, I like this other life better. It feels like he kind of went with this goal.
Let me bark all over that tree one more time, because, again, we have a trailer scenario where we do see him and Amanda going into the cube. And she basically says, we have a problem because there's a gajillion dimensions, right? She says, there's a million versions of you. How are we going to find the one you need to get back to? So I don't know if that means that Evil Jay can literally like look into a specific dimension and know, like, there has to be
maybe
a reason.
He's got the wrist pad that like,
and I think, again, this is a quote in the trailer and I can't remember, again, everything's blending. I shouldn't have watched the trailer right after watching episode one, but there's like a quote that says like, he chose you for a reason. What, like, what's the reason, right? How does he choose this Jason? Like, how can he see into dimensions? Like, our Jason now on this other evil dimension side of things doesn't have this knowledge. So he's going to go into this cube and be like, there's a gajillion versions. I don't know what I'm supposed to do here. But Evil Jay, I guess he's the one who created it. So he could be like, I don't know, visiting slash looking. I don't know if he could visit, because I feel like it would be too big of a deal if he visited, because this is a big deal when he went 14 months. So
yeah,
I don't know. Is there a way to look into dimensions? I don't know.
Yeah, that'll be interesting to find out. Like, what's his kind of like North Star? What's his directional? What's his compass?
Right.
How is he? And, like, what instruments is he using to do it? Or is he just free surfing? And says, oh, he's banging Daniela? Sign me up, baby.
I like that. Yeah.
I could keep
like, that's good. Yeah.
Something else that I'm just kind of clicking with now is they could have just done the two dimensions and that's all that exists. But if you're going to say that there's all these different dimensions, maybe every single dimension's difference has to deal with that nexus point. Is that what we're going to say, Kyle? I don't know. Like, there is a universe where every single decision that was made went one way or the other, like back to the superposition thing. So maybe he specifically sought this universe out based on the decision of, do I lean into my work or family? So like that, that could be the connecting vein of why Evil Jay went to this one. Cause if there's an infinite, what's the, like that kind of makes the idea of superposition a little bit weird and trying to connect it to this. If there's just a million dimensions, but who knows? Maybe that's the reason.
Yeah. I mean, he could be a janitor and 75% of them.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. He could be anything.
Profession, but it's just obviously this Evil Jay wants this, some very specific things out of this new world he's going to.
Yeah, you can
right,
me.
And it,
that's
and it,
it.
Does make it very interesting to think about if he's evil or not when we call him Evil Jay, because in his mind, apparently got everything in his evil world, right? He's a CEO. He got, quote unquote, what he wants, or I guess not CEO, chief scientist.
CSO.
Yeah, CSO.
Co-founder,
you know, whatever. He basically got everything on that side of the ambitious scale. And he goes to Jason and he's like, hey, man, you wanted a piece of that, didn't you? All right, I'll give it to you. And then, but really, he knows that if he gave it to Jason, that Jason probably would get the taste of it and say, I want Daniela back.
Yeah,
so, you know, it's, you know, if
Daniela.
All Jasons just want to end up being, and again, I don't know if they're all different.
All Jasons want Daniela.
All Jasons love Daniela.
I actually like that. I like that idea.
Yeah, like that, you know, they're all, it ends up being that all Jasons love the family life and their wife, and that's their point of living. Then that kind of does make Evil Jay evil.
Yeah.
Would you go as far to say that Jason is a family guy?
I was just, he's like the ultimate wife guy and the ultimate family guy. That's so funny. Okay, these groups of scenes, the only thing that I had that I wanted to mention was, Luke, you called this out earlier too, while he's in the waiting room, they have all of those posters. This was another like feather in the cap of the Einstein connection, is that some of the posters are general and special relativity posters. I found them on the internet. They're pretty cheap, so here's your little plug for if you want them on your own walls. This guy, Justin Van Genderen, is Chicago-based. That's why I was like, okay, they totally looked at this guy, and he makes a lot of really cool prints. I might buy some for my new apartment. So, yeah, if you're interested in what you saw on the show, you should check out Justin Van Genderen. That's a completely free promo for that guy.
Sponsor us, bro.
He makes very interesting prints. A lot of very interesting space prints too. So
nice.
Cool stuff. Because I was like, okay, where's the hint? Like, what else? Like, there's entropy poster.
Yeah.
Okay, noted. General relativity noted. Special relativity noted. Okay, what else we get? And I couldn't find any of the other ones. But we're looking. We're looking, audience. Don't worry. I was genuinely, maybe not surprised, but like, oh, when they had the same address. So I thought there was a chance he would go in and be like a different family. He'd be like, what the fuck? But they had the same address. They live in the same house, even though they have wildly different professions. So that was it.
So the house is the same, but it's the different people living in there, different decorations, different setup.
Yeah.
It's crazy that it is Is that a weird thing? Is it something weird that we need to talk about?
I guess maybe Daniela makes Buku bucks because obviously Evil J makes Buku bucks.
Right.
So I'm just trying to like maybe their household incomes. Well, his household is a household of one, but like their incomes are similar or there's something about that house I'm interested in as well. We'll kind of see.
Is that a cliche to the premise of the show that they have to make it that he goes that to his own house?
Yeah, I don't know. Is he just buying a house under his means, Evil J? Because there's something about it that speaks to him, or like is Daniela so rich that they have this house? I don't know.
Yeah, because you would think that the whole point is that different decisions are made.
Yeah.
And if he's with Amanda versus Daniela, what would make them make the same exact choice when buying this house?
Yeah. And they're not married. Him and Amanda.
Yes. Amanda's That's, not married. And you can see it in her eyes that she's upset when he says, my wife. And he says, you don't have a wife.
So my question is, where's OG Amanda? Is she going to be relevant? Like, is there going to be some interaction in... like maybe Daniela seeks her out in some way and like they work together. Cause Amanda seemed like I'm not getting evil vibes at all from this company. Like I'm not thinking, not yet at least. I mean, I guess they are chasing him down with like armed guards and like trying to like strap him in. Leighton and Amanda, they're trying to help him. And also you got to think about it. They have no idea what the ramifications of pulling somebody from a different universe. Like it could be creating atom mismatches and black holes could be like blowing up the whole universe now because you're doing this. Like it's a reasonable thing to say, all right, for 24, 48 hours, you got to stay here. So I'm not getting evil yet from the company, but it could turn that way.
I mean, Evil Jay is the co-founder, Luke. It's evil. Yeah, company's evil.
Yeah, that's a nice transitive property there. Easy peasy. But
yeah,
another thing I want to mention too is Jason knows Leighton, not this version of Leighton, but knew Leighton at some point. So I'm interested in that relationship from the original world, like OG Leighton, OG Jason. How do they know each other? What's that about? That almost insinuates that maybe OG Amanda is a thing.
Yeah.
And it could easily be the exact scenario that we discussed where maybe OG Leighton gave this proposition to OG Jason and said, hey, let's start this company. Let's do this damn thing. And then he chose Daniela. That's how long ago it has to be. He says, I haven't seen you in so long. I haven't seen you in years. So you have to assume him and Daniela have been together for a long time by the age of Charlie. So it could be that Leighton in the OG world is the one who they were going to work together, start a company, and they just didn't.
Yeah. The only thing I have left is just Evil J returning home.
Yeah.
Which is weird as shit.
Those sequence
man.
Of scenes. It was weird because he is like clearly in awe of the home.
Yeah.
Like, thankfully, she's doing the dishes, thankfully for him, because he like walks in like a weirdo, like he doesn't live there. And kind of recovers when he's like super intimate with her and she's kind of thinking, like, this is odd. Like, why?
Yeah.
And he's like, I didn't drink. And she's like, okay. So they have a lot of interesting, I think, lines here.
Yeah. I thought it was going to be something where he kisses her and she thinks he kisses different. Like, I thought it was going to be a scenario where, because she says, like, what's wrong? Like, what? There's something wrong here. There's something off right after they kiss. And it could easily just be like, what are you doing? Like, why are you getting all my shit? I'm pissed at you. But I was like, oh, that would be freaking interesting, too. Like, if Jason's kissed differently or something and she's been with him for so long.
You know he bangs different. He's got to bang a little different.
I mean, he looks, like, aggressive. Not in a bad way, but, dude, like, this guy is, like, a drive. Like, he wants Daniela, which Jason... I'm going to say it already, love him to death, but he doesn't feel like he has that level of like sexual aggression towards her. So,
yeah. Well, I mean, that's like the kind of things that we don't want to get into a conversation, but like, you have Evil J coming in and I already kind of brought it up. This could just literally be like all this work that he's done is to get back to Daniela and he's finally gotten back to Daniela. So he's like, rah, you know, I love you. Let me, you know, but at the same time, I mean, he's literally another guy going to Daniela, pretending to be her husband and being like, make out with me right now.
I took it as like a symbolism or like a way to show that like the differences between Evil J and Jason. Jason, like I've said before, he seems very complacent. His life is his life. And this is kind of his, you know, stone's throw. This is how it's going. It is what it is. And while this Evil J, we know, very ambitious, like type of like he's going to, if he wants something, he's going to go get it. So that seems to be like the juxtaposition between Jason and Daniela's interactions feels like Daniela has the upper hand in all of them. where she feels like, let's say she wears the pants in the relationship while Evil Jay coming in and he's now driving the conversation. He's driving the physical interaction, all that type of stuff. So,
dude, I'm watching episode two right now.
Yeah.
And then let's pull up in the background of this podcast. I've been watching.
And let's also talk about this, which I think now is important after we all discussed this kind of stuff, is he knows a conversation that was had between Jason and Daniela when he's not Jason. He's Evil Jay. And he knows the conversation was had that said, a long time ago, we had a conversation. What was it? Now, he made her tell it to him.
Yeah.
But he knows that a conversation was had because maybe in his world, a conversation was had and he said the wrong thing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in this world, she spits out the right thing and he says, I stand by it. And now he has his family guy life, you know?
Yeah, there was three things I wrote down that are just evidence that Evil Jay is just an absolute dog. When he tells her about the Ryan's offer and she says, what do you think or whatever? And he says, our life is here. I was like, all right, bro, you literally just got here, first of all. And then the part when she responds to him that at the end of your life, you would rather have memories of me than a sterile lab. And he goes, and I stand by that still. It's like, you're a motherfucker. And then the third one is he's literally a motherfucker. And then he takes her to bed like ASAP.
Yeah, right.
Like, oh my God. The OG version, like you're the guy you just kidnapped, drugged, and threw in a multidimensional cube is literally running for his life while you're just sliding ASAP into his wife's bed. I was like, that is a cruel world.
Yeah, it really is, man. I mean, that is, he's deaf a dog, man. It's bad. It's bad. I like talking about this stuff with you guys because I was going to have to outwardly say, how did he know to ask that question? But because we came up with that, maybe there's a fork in the road scenario, it makes more sense now.
Because I even wrote down, that feels very ambitious. Like, do you remember what I said to you all those years ago? Like, wow, where are you getting that confidence from? But he obviously perfectly.
He has a life, quote unquote, with her for however long. And he's going to be pulling all this shit out of his ass for, hey, you remember last week when we went to dinner? Where was it? And he's like, fuck, was I paying attention in my little when I was spying on them at that time? Like, I mean, it's, you know, again, bark down that tree, bark it all over that tree. The trailer does show that she gets suspicious pretty quickly. So
she needs. That's the only way it'll be interesting in that storyline.
The final thing I will say, because this feels important and I wrote it down, is that Jason's lock screen is Daniela, while Daniela's lock screen is their son.
The young version of the son too, right?
Yes.
That's why I was actually confused for a second because I thought it was going to be another dimension Daniela because I was like, oh, maybe she has like a kid with someone else or maybe their kid isn't that old yet or something because it was younger.
Jason and Daniela's relationship and the way it was, she is going to know that something is up with the way that Evil Jay is acting. So they showed us a lot in this episode of how Daniela and Jason's relationship was. And now we're going to get the differences are going to be like, we're going to be able to identify him, I think, a lot easier as we move forward. So that's something I'm excited about.
Question. Yeah. You said people are saying, what does that mean?
Who said it? Me?
People are saying?
I thought you said that, like you were saying you saw like conversations about this online where that can't be a thing yet, right?
Yeah. If I said people are saying, I was just throwing people that in there to make head. My point sound more, have more credential. I had a little Donald Trump
saying.
Right there.
He's
little
literally
Donald
like,
Trump
he's like
right
Barney.
There. Everyone's saying, people are saying.
he's like Barney from How I Met Your Mother, 87% of the time.
Yeah, exactly. I've been hearing things.
Looks like a hot lawyer.
My instant thought was like, I want to see conversations about this episode, but that doesn't exist yet.
Yeah, well, maybe, maybe I'm Evil Kyle, Evil K.
Oh, Evil K,
Evil
dude.
The only difference is
the season dropped a week ago, so you watched the whole thing.
Yep.
Now you're coming in here to be a good podcaster and predict everything.
That's the fork in the road.
What I tell you all those years ago, you know.
What'd you tell me back in Iceland all those years ago?
Yeah,
man?
I think it was to wrap this episode up and let's go.
Yeah, I have no problem at all. I have no problem at all calling Evil Jay, sticking with that for now based on his actions at the end of this episode. So we're going to stick with Evil Jay, and if anything changes, we'll let you know. But guys, episode one in the books, loving it. Like we said in the intro, We have the screeners. Thank you to Apple TV Plus. So we will get these episodes out ASAP for you every single week. We are separating episodes 1 and 2 because we have the screeners, and we will be able to drop them ASAP for you guys. So again, we know that there's a possibility that you're going to watch 2 episodes and want to just hear the episode 2 coverage, but we also know that there's people that just want as much supplemental content as possible. We're those people, so we just want to throw it out for you guys. If you like what you heard, check us out at BingeTownTV.com, or you can check us out on any of your favorite podcasts at BingeTownTV. Like I also said in the intro, we have so many different shows that we covered and will be covering. We're not just a Dark Matter podcast. So if you like what you heard, you can listen to any of our coverage. We have House of the Dragon, The Boys, The Bear, all coming up. We have a couple other shows that we're going to do one-offs. I believe we're going to do a Fallout one-off at one point. There's going to be stuff all over the place. So stay tuned, guys. Again, BingeTownTV.com or any of your favorite podcast apps, BingeTown TV. Once again, we are BingeTown TV. Once again, we are BingeTown TV. And thank you so much for listening.
You're listening to the Geekscape Network. You're listening to the Geekscape Network.